Hi.
Hi, everyone.
Notice anything different?
Woohoo. I don't. Yes, I do. We have a new set.
Welcome.
Welcome back. Season 4.
Why am I super nervous?
I just can't believe it's season 4. I still feel like it's 2020 and we just started and we're still recording on the floor of my room out of an old mop box. But anyway,
here we are.
Season 4.
This is going to take some getting used to. We've never been not on the same device.
Right.
You know, like
that's going to take some getting used to, but I can already tell our bodies are going to feel so much better.
Oh my God. My hips are so thankful right now, you guys.
The old set on the couch, like we'd like sink in and it would just, we'd have to readjust so much in between takes and everything. Like, this is comfy. Now I get why people podcast in chairs.
Yeah, literally. In chairs and then these like cool arm mic things. Like, guys, I could use both hands.
We can do things with our hands now.
Whoa.
We can like file our nails. Like, we could like paint them.
We could eat.
We could literally eat a full meal while we're recording, which is great because sometimes we have to eat before, but now we could eat during.
Right. You guys are just going to get a whole new us.
We could do anything. And I love
Whoa. Every time we've showed, like we've sent photos of the set to like our close family and friends. Mm-hmm. And every time we've sent it out, they're like, oh, you guys are growing up.
Yeah. Which is totally
like, that's the progression and like the theme that we've had throughout each season.
But like,
so
unintentional.
But we're just like,
we're just growing up too.
Yeah.
Like the first set, I mean, for a long time, we had nothing. Like I said, we were on the floor and we were audio only, as some of you may remember. And then we had our kind of childhood bedroom vibe.
Yep.
And then into the New York apartment with on the couch, like a little more like, ooh, bachelor pad, like single girl, hee.
Yep.
And then now this feels like just adult, which is so silly to say because we're literally 28. No shit, you're a fucking adult. But like
very adult, being like in the chairs,
official.
Like, you know what? A professional.
Professional.
Professional. Yeah. And we've like learned how to marry the two with like the chairs and the cool arm device things for our speakers. But like, right. Obviously us.
Oh, this is still very much us.
Still so like represented. And obviously we're going to do like a walkthrough of everything. So
Just a sec on that.
But like, it's still us.
What do you guys think?
Yeah. Do you like it?
We like the new set. You could be honest too. Or if you want us to move around anything, like,
yeah, let us know. Like, oh, that needs to be moved 2 inches to the left. Like, we get it.
Let us know. But
this is it. This is her.
I love it so much. And it's really made our apartment so much cuter too.
Yeah.
I plan on vlogging next week. So I'll do a vlog and I'll give a little.
Do like an apartment tour.
Damn near. I mean, I feel like this is the most done the apartment's been. And I mean, almost 2 years later, but hey.
Absolutely.
I love it. It feels so us. It feels so good. And Alex made a good point yesterday. Like, now that this is always going to be here, like, usually when it was on the couch, we'd break down. Mm-hmm. After every episode, the lights would go away, the tripod would go away, like everything, the mics, everything. But now this will all stay up. And when people come over,
they can like,
they'll see our work.
The only thing that they ever saw, like the first or season 2 set was fully in the garage. Like,
right.
No one ever saw that.
No.
Season 3 set, the only thing that people ever saw was the neon. And like, when people were over, we never really turned it on because we felt so like, hey.
I guess kind of that, like, I didn't mind repping it because like, I'm fucking proud of it.
And it was there.
It used to be directly in line with the TV. So if you have a neon sign in the reflection of your TV, like, you can't enjoy what you're watching.
It wasn't like functionally. No. And it like lit up our room. It's a relatively small space and it lit up our room really pink, obviously.
Right.
And it fucked with our eyes if it was on long enough.
Yes. Especially because we were sitting on the couch right next to it. Like,
it wasn't cohesive in our actual like day-to-day life.
Right.
But this, now that it's its own area, we're never going to break it down. No. We tested it out having on these lights at night, and like, it's
such
far enough
vibe.
Oh my God, it's far enough away from our living room that it could like live on and like just be a cute area in, yes, our house.
I love it.
I am so in love with this.
Is what we've always wanted too. Like, if you've been here since the beginning, you know, we've hopped around so many sets, but there was also a time, two different times where we were actually in studios. We would drive or three different studios.
Yep.
We've jumped three actual studios, and it was nice having it off site of our home because there was that kind of separation. But then we slowly learned like, nah, we like it at home. Like, we're homebodies. If we get inspired and we want to pick up and record right then,
right,
we can, because it's at home and we don't have to wait for producers or nothing. So we do everything completely like in-house. We have an editor. Everybody say hi, Dave.
Hi, Dave.
But other than Dave being out of the house, everything's in-house. And I just love that, like, it's also a part of our space now. Like, this is what we've wanted, for it to blend into our space rather than be something we have to like hook up every Friday and Monday. Like,
yeah. And like, it's very inspiring. Like, we could, we're going to walk by this every day and like, we don't have to like hide that portion of our day-to-day life. Does that make sense? Like, absolutely. Not hide, but like, we compartmentalize because we don't have it like out in front of us. And like, now that it's out here, it's very inspiring. I woke up this morning and I opened my door and I just stared at it.
I know, I walked out. Well, now our dining room table is like in the middle of the room, which sounds weird, but I promise it like reads, you'll see in the vlog. But when I walked out and I saw it, I jumped.
Oh, really?
And I was like, huh. And then like, I remember.
Where am I?
No, yeah, it was kind of, I had just woke up too. It was kind of like disorienting, but then I remembered, but it looks good. It breaks up the room. It somehow made the room look bigger. Like,
very like loft-esque in here now.
I love it. This is probably my favorite set, but I hesitate because obviously like the OG pink one with like all the early 2000s posters on the walls, like that will always be an honorable mention, but this feels
like us right now.
Yeah.
The thing about the season 2 set was it was just so nostalgic. And like, we talk about this all the time.
Right.
We like thrive off of nostalgia. So like, that was creative and inspiring in its own way. But this is, I think, going to do something different for like where we are at now in our lives
as women.
Right.
And I feel like the season two in general, season one and season two, you guys were getting to know us. You were learning past stories of our lives, and it was kind of running off the nostalgia of what our 20-year friendship is. But now that y'all are caught up, and mostly what we talk about is extremely relevant to today, as you'll learn later in this episode, it's like a modern version of our set. So it makes sense now.
Right.
Let's walk through it a little bit. We won't go crazy.
Cause what's on your shoulder?
What? Oh my God. No, scared the fuck out of me. Before we get to that,
okay,
that'll be our last step, but let's walk through the set.
Okay,
we'll end
okay,
there.
Okay, okay, okay.
Advice sign. Obviously, you guys see it.
You guys have been there, done that.
Your tiles to right are so fucking pretty.
Okay, so as you guys know, over this past break, I went and spent time in my hometown, and I spent a lot of time with my grandmother, and I was telling her about like our vision for this set and how we wanted like a gallery wall theme. And she pulled these out, and these are like ceramic made. They're like Dutch plaques. And one says Christmas on it. Christmas 19.
Oh, that's what that means. Yeah. Oh.
1977. And the one below is actually the town that my opa grew up in.
Whoa.
Yeah. I don't, let me see. Zeist? Gementhaus. Zeist.
What's Zeist mean?
I don't know, to be honest.
Huh. Well, they're really fucking pretty.
Yeah, they're really pretty. And they, you know, it's a little
homage
to family. And then on my left is my other dead grandparents.
If you're on audio.
Yeah, sorry.
Representing of them, not actually their dead bodies.
Right. This is just like a really cool, I think I've showed this maybe on like my Instagram or something.
I think so.
It's just like a really cool print that my grandma Bonnie had in her apartment. It says espresso on it, and it's just like this cool, like retro little design. And it's two people holding a coffee cup and like sniffing it together. And it's just really cute. And it's just, yeah, one of my favorites.
We have up here this lunchbox. It's a Brady Bunch lunchbox I've had for years. And never really like did anything with it. It was kind of just on my floor next to a plant. And then it, like the top of it looks like the whole thing looks like a TV. So I don't know. It felt like kind of an homage to the old TV we had on the old set.
Oh yeah.
And it just like goes with the retro vibe. Honestly, we just needed things more that color too. Underneath it, this little like diamond frame, it has kind of like a crest in the inside of some sort. I just found this at a thrift store in Brooklyn. It was really pretty.
Oh my God, I just noticed it's upside down.
It is?
Keep it.
Yeah. Keep it. It should stay upside down.
It's upside down. I don't know. It's a little like, now I'm a little off put.
Flip it around.
Yeah, I'll flip it.
We have the phone that was on our first set too. This used to be next to Larry.
Yeah.
So this is our OG red phone. And then right here, this picture behind me on my right, I thrifted upstate in Beacon. It's this really cool, like knitted art, like crochet art, but it's big. I feel like usually when you see that crochet art, it's the small things.
Right.
This thing is so detailed. It's so big. And it's two girls leaning against a piano, playing piano together. And it's like us, even though we don't play piano at all.
Yeah, I know one song.
Oh, she does. She does. I could do the... I just need the other person to do the other side.
Okay. So. And I think you taught me it.
We should get a piano.
We should.
What the fuck would we put the piano at this point? Ugh. This place is filled to the brim. And then we have this cool, like, what is it called? Like Oxford pennant flag. It says right here. We got some juicy little lips. There's a clock behind my head and it's set at 4:20 because
you know
what time
you know
is.
The vibes.
We had it set at the normal time and then we were looking at it and we're like, this is kind of like boring. Like, let's set it to something meaningful. Right?
Right. Okay.
And lastly.
Before you get there.
Oh yeah. We got a milk carton.
Yeah.
Isn't it cool? It's a light.
It's a light.
We got
it's
off
milk,
Etsy.
It's a milk carton light.
It's really, really cool. And then our plant.
We don't drink milk.
Do you guys love all the plants? Like, I feel like the plant thing, like we needed that.
Little bit of life.
Yeah.
Oh, and we have a cute little Joker peekaboo back there.
Oh yeah, giant playing cards to my right and normal sized
to
my left. Ladies and gentlemen, can I get a round of, what is it? Drum roll?
Round of applause?
No, that's
drum
after.
Drum line.
With Miles Teller. Is that what it's called?
Nick Cannon.
No.
Whiplash. Have you seen Drumline? Really good.
Yes, but the fact that I said Drumline with Miles Teller.
Yeah, no, I was like, what movie did you watch? What version were they showing you?
I'm dead. I'm actually like blushing out of embarrassment right now.
Oh my God. Guys, this is our merch.
Deck of cards. Guys, we finally, our merch is out. It's here. And we have a collaboration deck with the one, the only bicycle playing cards.
It's, I don't, how do we, like, this is it.
Okay.
We're going to do a quick run through for you guys. This has been a project, and like, we know we're saying this, and we know half of you already guessed that this would be our merch.
More than half of you. Everyone's like, cool.
Right. But I don't know, this feels so like, this is such an accomplishment for both of us on like a personal career, every level that we've like ever thought of and dreamed about. This is it. And it's all, you know, we spent 2 years, two full years planning, executing, designing, creating, developing this deck. And like, when I tell you that we put, this is every single bit of us.
It literally started as a blank template of 56 squares.
Yes.
And we did
everything.
The colors, the fonts, every little stroke you see, every digit, every like every curve, everything
is fully us. And it's here. And it's beautiful. And there's a whole like backstory to it. It's not just like a deck of cards that you are able to play with. We, as you guys know, we love meanings and backstories and plots and little hidden gems. So we came up with a full storyline of our deck of cards.
This is a freshie. I love a freshie. I feel like we should start with this.
Yes.
So in a deck of cards, there is 56 cards. You have your 52 playing, you have the jokers, and then you have like a, what every deck kind of uses this one different.
Like kind of an information card. Or like how to play.
Right. And then your double back card, where, as you could see, if you're on visual, it's just the art that's on the back of the card, but on both sides. And on the info card on one side, we have a little kind of blurb about us, and it actually has the Advice logo on it, which is like so fucking cool to me. And I'll read it. It says, "Playing cards courtesy of Advice. In 2005, Kristen McTee and Alex Coate met on their school playground in Northern California and have been best friends ever since. Both were raised playing cards with their families, so with a deck on hand at all times, the two carry on the tradition. In 2020, the two started a podcast called Advice. Coming from opposite upbringings, they offer different perspectives on topics, including spirituality, dating, personal growth, and so much more. Each week, listeners can send in questions or stories to receive advice from the hosts. Stream here." And then we put the little logos for all the streaming platforms. This is like such a cool card to me. And it's the first one you see when you like take the cards out of the tuck. And
yes,
it's, oh, I love it.
And like, while we want this to obviously like be read as a Bicycle X advice deck, we also wanted it to be very, like approachable to people who don't necessarily watch or listen to us.
Yeah.
So on the tuck, we have, oh, do we say it's called Deck of Decks?
Oh no. Yeah. Hey guys.
The deck is called Deck of Decks because it's top tier.
It's the deck of all decks.
It's the one that we've been waiting for. It's the one that you guys have been waiting for. So it says Deck of Decks, playing cards, courtesy of Advice. And we actually had Advice really small on the tuck.
Originally,
and Bicycle was like, no, like, amp that up a bit.
Yeah.
Amp that up. And we're like, okay, are you sure? Are you sure you want us to say Advice?
Are you sure you like us? Like, you're not mad at us?
No, the whole time we were like, are you sure? Do you really like us?
They were like, guys, this is your deck.
This is happening. And then on the other side of the information card that Kristen had just read is the plot line for our deck. So I'm going to read that to you now. The Joker's gone mad. He's out poisoning the town, and his final target is the royal family. They think they're untouchable with their coveted jewels, generational luck, and eternal love for one another. In reality, the only thing to withstand the poison is the antidote, the Ace of Spades. With some tricks up their sleeve and help with the other three suits, they just might outwit the Joker. No matter what game you're playing, consider yourself safe with the Ace of Spades.
So the Ace of Spades is a very important card to us. It's always kind of been a powerful card in some of the games that we like to play, and almost like an inside joke amongst our friend group. I don't know. Alex has the Ace of Spades tattooed on her hand. Like, it's just
like a very notable card.
And I think we're not alone in that. Everybody knows the Ace of Spades is dope as fuck.
And we wanted to like really highlight that with our story. So we wanted to make the Ace of Spades the antidote, which you read in the plot line is the only thing that could save the royal family from the Joker.
The Joker right here. Oh my God. This is literally like my next tattoo. I need to actually make an appointment. This guy is so cool. I love the design of him. He's so like kooky and kind of like creepy looking. I love how mischievous his smile is. Just classic Joker, but he's holding a bottle of poison and it's green. And if you don't know, usually Jokers in decks, there's one black and white and then there's one colored. And on the black and white ones, obviously all black and white, but we still kept the bottle full of green poison, which that's like such a cool little Easter egg.
Yep.
That being said, there's a lot of Easter eggs within this deck, especially on the tuck, which when we say the tuck, that's the box that the cards come in.
Yes.
There's a lot of little Easter eggs kind of about us on the front of that too. So I'm curious to see when you guys go through the deck and see what you find. But yeah, so the Ace of Spades is the antidote. The Ace of Hearts.
Oh, this might be, I literally, every card's my favorite card.
I know, I keep saying like, oh, this is my favorite. And then we pulled out another one. I'm like, I don't know. The Ace of Hearts though, you guys, is so cool. We actually did like an anatomically correct heart.
Mm-hmm.
This does only live on the Ace of Hearts. All the other heart cards are normal hearts, but it's so like, you see like the vessels, like it's so detailed. The imagery on all these aces is so fucking detailed, dude.
Beautiful.
It's beautiful. Oh, I love it. The Ace of Diamonds, we have that coveted jewel, just like an OG diamond on the front. Beautiful blue to kind of show just like a, I don't know, classic diamond. We got some shiny little accents framing the diamond and whatnot. Oh, every time I look at it.
And then the generational luck of the royal family is represented by the Ace of Clubs. And we made that a four-leaf clover.
And it's a beautiful green. It's actually the same green that is the color of the tuck. And I tried to get my nails done that green the other day, but
it goes.
Kinda.
It works,
but like,
oh my God, close enough.
Close enough. I don't know. They're kind of a little Christmassy. But I just did it because we're going to Card Con and like I wanted them to match.
Right.
Anyway, yeah. Oh God, the Ace of Clubs. This might be my favorite.
I don't know. The heart.
It's
the
so diamond. Cool. We don't want to take up the whole episode for this. Also, our Patreon people have already heard this whole spiel so many times. If you don't know, we have a Patreon and we actually had this on pre-sale for the past like 2 weeks on our Patreon. As a little secret, we didn't tell you guys. But we wanted to give you listeners, you Patreon listeners, kind of a head start to get these decks before they sell out.
And they are now available for every single one of you. So go to freaking bicycle.com. We'll put the link in the description.
Yeah, link down below. Or you could just go to the website, type in deck of decks or advice. We'll pop right up. Each deck retails for $14.99 and they're absolutely stunning. I just know you guys will love these so much. This is the deck of all decks. As card players ourselves, this is the fucking deck we've been waiting for, and that's why we made it.
Right. And like, you guys know, every time we've brought up the topic of merch, we wanted it to be something that you guys like really value and are going to be able to use on the day to day, and not something that's just going to like wear and tear. Obviously cards wear and tear, but like they get better with time. And like when we say that we want you guys to like throw them in your bag, bring them everywhere you go, put them in your pocket, like play them, get them, you know, like
get them dirty,
play your
drinking games, play all types of games, learn a fun magic trick. Like,
right.
I have one magic trick, and it's my fucking party trick because we always have a deck on us. So when there's a lull in the vibe, I'm like, hey, anybody want to see a magic trick?
It's like the perfect socializer. You guys know you could play with by yourself or with 20 other people. Yep. Like, this is your, like, we want it to be yours and we want it to be lived in and like do what you want with this deck. It's, you know, it's beautiful and it's pretty and it's stunning, but like it's supposed to be played with.
Right.
And we want that for you guys.
Exactly. Oh, I love it so much. I just can't stop looking at it. But yeah, everything's linked down below. Deck of decks, everybody. Season 4, we finally made merch.
I don't even like calling it merch.
I know. It's not. Can we just say like,
it's
like our project? I don't know.
Yeah, it's this project. And like, thanks to you guys. You guys are the ones that hit up Bicycle 2.5 years ago and even like started this conversation. And I will say, like, the beginning of the relationship with Bicycle, they were even like, guys, like, I don't know. A deck is we've never done that with anyone before. Like, we don't work with, you know, influencers or podcasters ever. So this really has been a process of like us getting to know how Bicycle works and Bicycle getting to know like how we work. And it's just been like this beautiful long marriage of the two of us. And it's, I mean, this is a company that like Kristen and I have looked up to. Like the first meeting that we had with them, we were fangirling so hard.
No, it literally felt like I was getting like a cameo from like someone famous.
Right. And they were like, what? Like little old us?
We were like, yeah, absolutely. You literally raised us. You were on every table at every holiday growing up. Like I remember like my grandma playing cards and me watching her shuffle growing up. Like it's just been such a big part of our lives. And, you know, yeah, it might've taken 4 seasons, but I've never felt so proud of something we've put out.
Right.
And it's 100% us. And we didn't just, you know, no hate to anybody else, but like per our values, like we didn't want to just slap our logo on something and like call it a day.
Right.
Like it really is us. It's a collaboration, but
it's like it's, we put in the work for this deck.
Right.
Like, oh, I'm just so happy you guys finally get to see it.
Yeah, we can't wait till you guys get it. So once you get it, please tag us and everything. We want to see what games you're playing, what you're doing, and I hope you love it. Okay, before we get into the rest of the episode, we're going to take a quick break for our first sponsor. Our first sponsor is ZocDoc, and ZocDoc is a free app that helps you find patient-reviewed doctors, and you can also book right through the app.
You know what I strongly dislike doing is calling the doctor's office.
To people,
yeah, talking to people in general.
Right.
But calling the doctor's office, and what I love about ZocDoc is you could do absolutely everything through the app. You could, like, type in specializations. You could filter by your insurance provider, yep. which is obviously like the biggest help in the world. And you go through, you each doctor has a photo, which like I be judging.
I mean, they're looking at crevices.
Right. Like, if I'm finding a gyno, like,
right.
I don't want an old man.
Yeah.
No, you know what I mean?
For sure. And it's nice that you have all those resources there. You could read the reviews. You could right. get your vibe through them. And that's what's so great about it. Also, I feel like we should mention it's all type of practitioners. You can find every dermatologist, general practitioners, OBGYNs, and so on.
Dentists, like right. you could book everything. Also, they have like a cool little checklist.
Oh yeah.
So that like, you know, you get your teeth cleaned every 6 months, you go to the gyno once a year. They make sure that you stay on top of all of your appointments and yep. they'll send you notifications when you're ready for your next dental appointment and so on. And if you need to reschedule or you can't make your appointment, you could do everything through the app. So you don't have to make that phone call.
ZocDoc is the only free app that lets you find and book doctors who are patient reviewed, take your insurance, are available when you need them, and treat almost every condition under the sun.
Go to ZocDoc.com/advice and download the ZocDoc app for free. Then find and book a top-rated doctor today. Many are available within 24 hours.
That's ZocDoc.com/advice. ZocDoc.com/advice.
Thanks, ZocDoc.
So we took roughly one month off.
Yep, about a month.
And this has just been the month from hell.
It has not really felt like a break. It hasn't felt like a break from life. Like we set intentions in our last episode of season 3 where we really just wanted to like relax, not do anything, chill out, like travel. And while we did have a break from work, particularly, like we did not have a break from life.
The energy just made up for what we were giving into work. It was, life was like throwing back at us.
Yes.
There's just been a lot that's been going on. And, you know, I'm glad we took the break because I couldn't imagine going through all of this while having to, you know, have another layer of workload. So thank you guys for allowing us to take the break and understanding. Right. And we see all of your comments and your messages of like how supportive, like, I feel like every Patreon message, when someone would write in, they'd be like, I hope you're enjoying your break. Like, thank you for that. But yeah, it's been a month to say the least. I went to Italy and that was absolutely amazing. I loved it so much. And I feel like that was definitely like the highlight of this break. But then I feel like right when I got home,
shit hit the fan.
I mean, do we just spell?
Yeah.
Like, yeah. I kind of feel like that's what this is. And I mean, the last that you guys heard at the end of season 3 was Tanner and I broke up, and I've been going through a cheeky little breakup.
A cheeky little one is the wrong phrase.
It's totally wrong. it's not cheeky. It's the opposite of cheeky, and it's big.
Yeah.
And it's ugly, and it's unexpected, and it's uncomfortable, and it's sad, and it's gross, and it's,
I will say,
I can keep going
watching you go through two breakups. Well, like,
no, I know,
watching you go through two breakups, they are so drastically different.
Oh my god, they're so different.
But the way that you are, I hate even saying the word handling, but the way that you are processing this breakup and like growing through it is a complete 180 compared to how you processed and went through your first breakup. Like,
shout out to my first breakup for giving me the tools to get through this one.
Right.
Straight up.
But like, you, I don't know, I'm proud of you. Like,
thank you.
You could have very easily like
jumped off the balcony.
Yes. And like fully like rock bottom.
Yeah.
Like based on everything that happened, but like you really are like holding your own. And like, I know that's hard, and I know like you don't want to a lot of the time, but like, I'm proud of you.
Thank you.
That's huge.
I mean, I couldn't do it without you. And I want to acknowledge that even through this break. Correct me if I'm wrong, but I'm sure you being my best friend, a lot of your exhaustion is just supporting through what I'm going through. Not that I'm burdening you, at least I don't. think
yeah, am, you don't. And like we've had this talk before, like
naturally when one of us goes through something heavy, like we're yes. picking up for the other.
Oh my God. Yeah. Like
that's best friend shit.
Yeah. We like maintain to get on each other's level, whether that be like, if you are feeling down, like I will support you no matter what. And it's like, that's what we're in each other's lives for.
Right.
It's never a burden. You're not like holding me back. It's not, I'm not being dragged. It's like, I will bring myself there to be your support like, system.
Thank you. And I'm so fucking grateful for that. And before this episode, when we were thinking about like, what are we going to talk about? And kind of knowing that we had to talk about the elephant in the room that we left off on season 3, I was like, okay, Alex, but like, I also want you to talk about like shit that you've had going on. And like, but that's the thing. Like, obviously you have shit going on, who doesn't, but I do feel like a lot of it was.
Our lives are so like
interlinked.
Yeah. Are so linked that I'm not like, you're going through one of the hardest things that you've ever had to go through. And I'm not going to sit here and be like, oh, I'm just chilling.
I'm just hiding.
You know, like I feel what you feel and like, yeah. you know, we are experiencing, like, I'm not in your shoes, but we're going through the same thing right now.
You hear every emotion and every thought
yes.
that I have. So, like, in a sense, you're experiencing it.
Yeah.
So. And like, I feel like you guys could probably relate, like, your best friend or the closest person to you in your life, sibling or whoever, it'd be like that.
Yeah.
Like it does happen that
like I'm
way.
I'm right there with you. You know, I'm seeing it from a different perspective. And, like,
right.
of course, like, all goes without saying, but, like,
I'm tired.
I know.
I'm so tired, you guys. You know what's crazy?
I want you to do whatever you're comfortable doing right now.
You know what's crazy?
What?
Everyone scroll back to the first episode of season 3.
Did you like specifically talk about Tanner?
No, the first episode of season 3 was the breakup episode.
Was it? No.
I'm pretty sure.
Of season 2, maybe. I don't
Am
think.
I tripping?
I don't think. Because we had just moved here, season 3.
I guess maybe you're right.
I think
maybe
it was season two. It was in the midst of season 2 because we recorded in the studio. I remember.
So it was, sorry, you're right. Episode 2 of season 2, August 9th, 2021.
But we do be like matching these seasons up with our seasons of life. So
it's
only fitting. in Kristen and Alex fashion that we do this.
Right. Well, we're back with another story. So yeah, you guys know about Tanner. And I don't even know where to start. We were like best friends and then we crossed the line, wanted to cross the line. We intentionally crossed the line, became romantic, and I thought I was going to marry this man. We started dating. Everything was good and gravy. Like it was it. You guys remember? Like it was all we would talk about for a minute.
We shared that bit with you guys.
And I almost didn't because I always told myself I would never share a relationship again. But then when I was like, why wouldn't I if this is endgame?
Right. And you're not going to hide such a big part of like your life at that point.
That was a big part of when I shared the relationship in general. I remember sitting here like, Alex, I feel weird. Like
you felt like you were keeping keeping a secret.
Right.
And like we talk about our lives on this podcast. How are we going to sit here and be like, oh yeah, we went out and on a date the other day, like,
right,
you know,
and like anything we go through, especially romantically, it is what like fuels our advice to mm-hmm. you guys. And
it's our experience
and going through such an intense love like I had with Tanner, I knew I wanted to share it with you guys because we talk about love so much. And like that love also taught me so much about myself. So like I just knew I needed to share it. But then now my pride is like, fuck, why did I share it? Because now we're not together anymore. But like, been
all
there, done that.
And like the thing about this situation is this all came out of nowhere for every single person involved beyond just you and Tanner.
Yeah.
Like,
yeah.
Everyone in our friend circle, like our immediate families who know you guys, like this all came as a shock. So there's no way in hell you could have like sat there and been like, well, what if it doesn't work?
Oh, because it's a rocky relationship. Maybe I shouldn't share it.
No, you never had one inkling in your head that you wouldn't end up with this man.
Nope. He cheated on me.
I hate even smiling, but it's like a nervous smile.
I get it.
It's fucking crazy.
Motherfucker cheated on me.
After this man, 10 years, put in work to lock this girl in, the literally months after making it official.
Four months. Who's counting?
4 months after making it official, fumbled the fucking bag, to say the least.
I'm about to flip this shit. No, I'm messing around. The anger has passed. I was very angry in the beginning. That's why we didn't talk about it, because I knew I wouldn't speak about it very gracefully if I spoke about it right after it happened. But I've now been able to sit on it for almost 2 months, month and a half now.
2 months. It happened like right before the Montana trip.
Yes, which was September 7th we left. So yeah, about 2 months. Right before the Montana trip, I was home in the Bay for 3 weeks and I stayed with him, obviously. And it was great. You know, when I went home, there was stuff going on in his life. So I was there as like a big support system through some really personal and like really intense shit he was going through, with some close people in his life. And, you know, it was good though. Like it felt good to be there to support him, and he wanted me there. And it was like a really heavy trip, but like in a good way.
You felt like you were a partner.
Yes. I was like, I need to go home. I even went home early than mm-hmm. planned. Like I was like, I need to go support my partner. And that's exactly what I did. And I love that shit. I live for that shit, especially for the person I love. So, yeah, the 3 weeks were great. Like it was fine. The last week before I left, I am going to say a lot of us here. I do want to spare quite a bit of details because I'm, you know, as much as I'm sharing my experience, I really don't like, I'm not going to air his fucking dirty laundry. Like that's just not my place. All I can speak on is how it affected me, and I will not be holding back on that. But I will keep his shit private. But, pretty much something happened in that last week that led to a very vulnerable conversation between us. And I should say, now that you know cheating happened, had nothing to do with cheating what happened that last week. It was a conversation right. about something going on in his personal life. The cheating
hadn't happened yet.
Correct. So yeah, we had a super vulnerable conversation, but it was like a good one where in the end he was like, I feel so much better that like I told you about something that I'm dealing with. And I was like, I love you. I'm here for you. Like I can help you with this shit. Like that's what we're here for, like as partners. And, yeah. So I went home. I was home for 3 days, I believe. Barely 72 hours. And those 3 days, first 3 days that I was home, obviously, you know, we went back to our long distance FaceTiming ways. And I noticed his energy was low, but like rightfully so for everything he was going through. Like we weren't necessarily back to our chipper, like FaceTime and have coffee together in the morning and talk about our day. And, yeah. So that third night we said goodnight. It was like, I think it was like midnight here. So 9 PM West Coast where he lives. And it was kind of like a meh goodnight. But like I said, the 3 days have been kind of meh. I love you. I love you too. Good night. I'll talk to you in the morning. And I could not sleep for the fucking life of me. I was tossing and turning more than usual. I just didn't feel good, heart racing, like something was wrong. Everything in my gut told me something was wrong. And at 3 a.m., I did that for like 3 hours. And at 3 a.m., I physically like sit up in bed. And it wasn't like a panic, because panic sounds frantic. It was almost the opposite. It was as urgent as a panic, but as calm as knowing the sky is blue. You know what I mean?
You just knew.
I knew something was wrong. And I, you know, voice in my head, whatever you want to call it, call him. Call Tanner right now. And I pick up my phone and I FaceTime him. And mind you, when we said goodnight 3 hours prior, like he was in bed, like he was telling me he had like he's super tired today. Like we were saying goodnight to go to bed. So I FaceTime him, doesn't answer. I do it again. He doesn't answer. I do it a third time. He doesn't answer. And I'm like, now I'm already like, okay, something's up. He calls me back or FaceTimes me back right after that third missed call, and he's in his car. Like his phone is like in his
like center console area.
Right, like cup holder area, and he's clipping his seatbelt. And he's like, "Hey." I was like, "What are you doing? Like, what's up?" Like I just knew. And he was like, "Oh, I'm just leaving my mom's house right now. Like, she just like needed help with something, whatever." And I'll get through this quick. Pretty much, I was like, "Bullshit." And he was like, "No, I swear." And I was like, "Bullshit." Like, it was like that back and forth for a long time.
Yeah.
I also know how close his mom lives to his house. And we stayed on the phone until he got home. And that drive was like double the length. So I'm like, "You're not leaving your mom's. You're leaving somewhere double as far than your mom's."
Yeah.
And I just waited till he got home. And he tried to play it so cool. Like, he was like, do you want to talk to her? Like, nothing happened. And I was like, "No, I don't want to talk to anybody. It's not like that. I'm just going to say one thing to you right now." So he already got inside at this point. I said, "There was something so fucking heavy in my gut that sprung me out of bed to make this call because I knew something was off. And then you answer frantically," which, mind you, Tanner's not a frantic person. He's a very calm person. So for him to even act frantic,
like something's up.
You acted frantic. Your drive was way longer than it should have been. And you're telling me nothing is wrong. And I'm not picking up on anything.
So you're questioning my intuition right now.
If you are able to say that to me, knowing that it was my intuition that made this call, and you of anybody know how important my spirituality and my intuition is to me, and you're going to Uno reverse that on me, like use it towards me. And the word is so cringy. I feel like the internet ruined it, but you're going to gaslight me. You're a monster. Good night. We will talk about this tomorrow. And I hung up and I'm laying in bed. Less than, I think it was like 45 minutes later, I get a text. And it was like, what was the wording? Like, I'm the worst person. I wasn't at my mom's. I cheated and I don't know how I can live with myself. Bye. And I stand up out of bed, go to Alex's room. I was like, "Alex, you gotta wake up." She's like, "Well." I was like, Tanner cheated on me. And we sat up in bed together until like the sun came up, just trying to like wrap our heads around what the fuck just happened. Cause I can't stress enough, like, yes, cheating happens and it's bad across the board, whether it's expected or not from the person. But this was so unexpected.
So unexpected.
Like, trust was never even an issue. Like, we were obsessed with each other. Like, there was...
He literally walked on the ground. No, kissed the ground that you walked on.
Right. Like, there was nothing that hinted to this. That's why it was so shocking.
Right. I will say, like, everything's 2020 in hindsight. Looking back, so the conversation that you had with him the last week that you were in the Bay, mm-hmm. a big part of it was that he hid that from you.
Yeah. So that vulnerable conversation I was talking about, without giving details, it was him hiding something.
It's nothing that he should have been hiding.
Right.
Like,
it was one of those like unnecessary.
Like, why he hid it for like what? a weird pride, shame reason.
Yeah.
And it's nothing that like no couple wouldn't be able to get through together.
Yeah.
And the night that he cheated, me and you sat on this couch and talked for hours about like why he would hide something like that. Like what's up with this weird, like what's like, you know, like what's going on? And like, you were literally sitting there on your back, like, "Alex, my anxiety is terrible. My stomach hurts." Like, that was your gut. Like, that was your like physical body. And that conversation telling you that, warning you that something was going to happen that night.
That has been the biggest clarity throughout this situation. I mean, you guys hear, especially season 3, I feel like the last half of season 3, I was constantly expressing how my anxiety had been the worst it's ever been. That's why I started going to a gut doctor, because, I mean, yes, I still have gut issues, but I was starting to think like,
there was something internally like
wrong.
Because
the anxiety was, and I'm sure a lot of you listening can fucking relate, like it was every moment of every single day. I couldn't leave the house. Like there was a time where I literally had to come home from brunch with Alex and, funny enough, Tanner. And I was having tunnel vision. I had to like sit down in the store we were in. Like it was so bad. It was so fucking bad. And other than today, which I probably have anxiety today because I knew I was going to have to talk about this story. Other than today and this moment that I'm recording, the anxiety has gone away since our breakup. And
literally like my body dissipated.
Dissipated is the perfect fucking word. Vanished. Like right after that kind of like tie was cut, especially like, obviously nobody fucks with cheating, but like,
you knew.
I really don't fuck with cheating because it, to me, it comes down to like sexual health. Like I don't want you fucking around with somebody and then fucking around with me and like me catching something. Like that's a big thing for me. It just runs so deep. Obviously we all know it's bad, but I feel like that's why the universe broke us up with something as heavy as cheating, because if it was anything else, I don't think I would have left him. Because
you were so ready to like, and this is something that like you, this was a conclusion that you came to with that conversation that you had that last week in the Bay. You were so ready to like be his partner and face anything that you needed to face with him and like get through shit. And you made that clear to him in that conversation. And you were just like reaffirming the relationship that last week.
Yep.
So,
and he loved it. Like it was such a good combo. Like he was all about it. Like we were so on the same page. Like we usually always are. And then this. So that's only the half of it, you guys. I mean, it just, after that, after the cheating thing, like, he like didn't talk to me for a few days after it. And he kept saying like, he's like not worthy of speaking to me and like all this. And I'm like, we gotta fucking talk about something. Like this can't just be like, oh, this happened and now I'm dipping. We eventually ended up talking about it. And the conversations were just so, we were on such different pages about it. There was never, I will say, there was never a point where he was like, what do you mean? It wasn't even that bad. Like he knew he fucked up immediately. So like, that's good. But he didn't realize, and I kind of feel like still doesn't realize, the severity of what he's done on the grand scheme of things. Like after the cheating came out and after like the other thing he was lying about that I learned about the week before, floodgates opened. And I learned so many other things that he was lying about.
We just started things connecting.
Things that didn't even matter dots. Though, you guys. Like he lied to me about
like what type of food he ate.
Yeah. And like,
what, like shit that he liked. He
told me he had health insurance and he didn't. Like he
just
lied
put
about
on
everything.
He put on the world's thickest facade. And like shaped himself, and he even admitted this last bit, shaped himself to be the person that he thought you wanted him to be.
He said that. He was like, I don't know. I feel this need to like constantly impress you. That doesn't warrant
lying. Fully creating this human being. And the thing is like he did it from the jump. So he just made you think like, oh, I just met someone who likes the same things as me. Like,
and that's how I talked to him to you guys. Like he was this perfect match.
Yep.
Because he wrote himself to be.
Yeah. He completely like rewrote his full reality. And like, this is something that we've gone back and forth with, like whether or not it was so like intentional. I think he was just so like lost in who he was, that he felt the need to create something. Mm-hmm. And he was like using bits and pieces that you put on the table as far as like things you liked.
Like
and
guidance.
And he took that and was like, oh, she likes this hairstyle. She likes this type of music. She likes these clothes. Like she likes to eat this way.
Yeah.
So I'm going to make myself that.
Yeah.
Because I want this woman.
Yeah.
And he did that. And then all this shit came to the head and we realized, oh, that's not who you are.
Yeah. So a lot of, I'm going to say two things. First thing, I actually want to go back on what you said. I do want to acknowledge that as mind-blowing as manipulating people and putting facades up is, I do know to my core it was not from a place of like, he like, wasn't, I'm going to pull a quick one. Like,
no, it wasn't like manipulated.
Right. It's quite sad. It really was just because this man was so lost in his individuality. And that's kind of also why I really want to talk about this breakup and everything. Cause there's so much we can all learn from this and we're not even done with the story, but this is why it's just so, damn it, I'm going to cry. Dang it. This is why it's so important to like love yourself. Mm-hmm. Because like obvious reasons, you know, it's all you have at the end of the day is you. But when you don't love yourself, it also affects people around you. And when you're not your authentic self, it's like, it's just a mind fuck. I, at least that's how I feel towards this. Like now I look back on the relationship and I'm like, yeah, hindsight's 2020. Now I can connect dots. But what sucks is all of my emotions were real.
Mm-hmm. You thought it was real.
Like I really did love him so much. Like I was ready to marry this man. Like any day he could have dropped down on me any day. And I would have said yes. Like I loved him so much. Like he was the first man that like made me feel fully safe. He was the first man that I had that much fun with. You know, we were so goofy together. Our personalities were so much alike. And now I'm just left picking apart every single word and feeling and trying to figure out if it was the facade or really him. And I've just had to drop that completely too, because it's driven me fucking bonkers trying to dissect everything. But, excuse me. But yeah, I just want to say like, this is why it's so important to love yourself before you love other people. Obviously this is a really intense case scenario, but it's not impossible. It's not unheard of. And I know a lot of people can probably relate to this whole story right now. And you know, if you're in a place where you don't know who you are, that's okay. But I'm just saying, you know, take the time to find it rather than just morphing to the people around you, because you're going to lose yourself even more. Mm-hmm. Like people love you for you, find you, and that will find your people. Like, and that's like what I wish he knew all along. Like if he straight up told me from the jump, like I have pretty low self-esteem, like, you know, I'm not going to sit there and fix it for him, but if we're on the same page, that's vulnerability. Mm-hmm. And I could, you know, I'm confident in some ways, but I have low self-esteem in other ways too. And I would be more than happy to bond over that and like hype each other up, you know?
Right. Like
from the jump, if he would have just said he was struggling,
guide him in finding his independence and finding the shit. Yes. Finding the shit that he likes and finding who he is. Yes. Like first and foremost, you guys were friends.
We were best friends before everything. And like, even then he like could have opened up, but like it just runs so much deeper. And like I said, there's a lot of detail about, you know, his story that we're going to keep out of it. But when things are rooted in shame, it's really hard for people to get their head out of that. Shame is a hard place to be in. And I am compassionate towards that. But
when it directly affects you,
and when like you don't do your best to be your best, version of yourself, your best version, not the best, your best. Mm-hmm. And you just go under the radar and are able to like build that facade. Like that's where I'm like, that's fucked up. Like you knew what you were doing. Mm-hmm. You would tell me one thing and then go do something else.
Right. That's like, the thing. Like
you knew it wasn't subconscious.
No. Like, and he didn't like fully morph to the point where he created this new version of himself that he had on 24/7. Like we have since learned that he would carry this facade when you guys were together. And like, I think this is why it lasted so long is because of the long distance.
Yes.
He was able to carry that facade for the
like
periods
3 weeks at a time, yep, when we'd hang out or we'd right. go to Disneyland or like whatever.
Exactly. But the second he stepped foot in his home, that's when he dropped the facade and became this like shell of Tanner that he really was.
When you think you are like so sure of an emotion, especially an emotion as strong as love, and like safety and vulnerability, and like I was so sure of all these things, and for it to like quite literally be like ripped out has now instilled lack of trust in myself, in my judgment of what's a real emotion. Now I'm over here like, holy shit, if I thought that was real and it was that unreal, how the fuck am I ever going to be able to navigate and identify real love next time?
But the thing is like it was so black and white that it was real. It like to you, like your emotions right. were real. Yeah. And it's just the fact that, and like the thing is like he did love you, but he didn't love himself enough to like be himself. And like going back to the cheating part, like he fully did that as a form of self-sabotage.
Fully.
Not because he didn't love you. And like the love right. part was very real. And like, I hope, like, don't like negate how you measure, or like, I don't even want to say measure love. This is so like, it is so hard like to go back and forth in your head. And I can only imagine like the back and forth in your head these past couple months, but the love was real. It's just other shit got in the way. I think like your love and your capabilities of love and how you love shouldn't be questioned.
I guess I won't know until I apply it again.
Right.
Like I do see what you're saying. I think a lot of it is like it's a pride thing of like, damn it, why didn't I see this coming? Like I do take pride in my ability to read people, mm-hmm. and nobody was able to read this. No. And it's like, damn, like that was another level of humanity that I just never thought I'd A, have to deal with, and B, damn near even existed. Like this is, while it's been happening, Alex and I have said 1,000 times over, like, bro, this is a Netflix show. Like, this is crazy.
This is crazy.
This is crazy. Oh, and like, I wish we could fucking say everything. I never would, but I wish we could, because
it makes it so much more crazy. Right. And like, everything is amplified times 100. If you guys knew like the other half of it.
So yeah, that's what I've been dealing with.
It's one of those.
It is, I guess.
It's one of those things that like it feels like it's hard to wrap our head around, but then when we like lay everything out on the table, we're like, oh fucking duh. But then still, it's so duh that how did we not see it?
Right.
And of that's course. The part that we can't wrap our head around.
Right. But like, no need to. We didn't have the tools that we have now. We didn't know everything then.
We didn't. It's crazy.
Yeah.
Lock your doors.
Hide your keys. Hide your wife. So yeah, it's been a lot of therapy, as always. Wait, my shirt.
Oh, yeah.
What does it say again?
Therapy is not enough. I need to ruin his life.
This is from Teddy Fresh, by the way. Okay, also, whoever runs PR
yeah.
at Teddy Fresh knew exactly what they were doing. The last box they sent me had this shirt and then a sweater with a fire truck that says dump him. Or, like, no, it was a dump truck, not a fire truck. No, yeah, they knew exactly.
they knew
what they were doing, which I love. So if you're listening, thank you so much. Identify yourself. I'd love to like get lunch. Like you get me. But yeah, also speaking of therapy, I've obviously had it since, but while this was happening, I wasn't in therapy because my therapist was traveling. So there was
you had like three weeks off
and we came back. She's like, how are you doing? How was Europe? And I was like, hey, we'll talk about Europe in a sec, but get this. And gave her she knows everything too. And she was just like, okay. Like now that we're on the same page, it's nice. But that first call back, the whole time she was just like, okay.
Shit really does hit the fan when I go on vacation.
Yes, it literally. And that's happened twice with her. There was another vacation where when she came back, my life had turned crazy and she's like, wow. So she needs to not go on vacation anymore. Yeah, I've been obviously talking about this a lot in therapy, which has fucking helped so much because there's a lot of the situation that she specializes in. That's very vague, but I say that because I'm grateful that I have like the best resource available for the nitty gritty details of this situation. And the other day I was telling her like, you know, I'm at a point now where like, honestly, I feel like right away, even like sitting in your bed that night, you were like, dude. And I was like, you don't even have to say it, Alex. I'm literally never getting back together with this man. That was apparent from the jump. There was never, ever, 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 ever a point from that 3 a.m. FaceTime to right now where I'm like, oh, we can work on it. No. Like once you do that to me, I'm out. But I was telling my therapist like, okay, like, yeah, that being said, I was expressing like my concerns with dating in the future and kind of, you know, I want to do my best to really, really heal from this the best possible so I don't bring any like trust issues in myself or others into anything else. And she encouraged me to like when I date, like go for like try for the people that you wouldn't necessarily go for. And she said that with like a grain of salt. She's like, I'm not saying like go for like some guy you literally don't vibe with at all. Like obviously there needs to be some type of connection. But when I go into it, like don't be looking just for the spark or the immediate connection or all this. Like, yes, those are all great things to find in people. But she's encouraging that I kind of build like my portfolio and my toolbox in the dating, I almost said dating community, in the dating compartment. To see what other things I might like that I don't even know I like, or other things I can pick up on that I hate that I don't want in the next person. Like she wants me to start dating with that lens. And that's kind of where I'm at now. And we'll see if it happens. I'm obviously like not much of a dater, but I do see the value in what she's saying.
I think with these past two like big relationships that you've had, you went in because similarly, you had such a strong, like deep connection with these men.
Mm-hmm.
And that kind of gave you like the guidance to like, okay, this is how I found love before. I like need this. And like, we've even said this with how you flirt and like, you know, all of the like basics going into dating is you really look for like that strong, deep connection.
Right.
And me and you had a conversation where I was like, maybe go into it, like flip it in reverse and go into it not necessarily looking for that right off the bat, because while you do look for it like off the jump, it also is a possibility and it's something that could build up within a connection. And
right.
It's not something that a lot of people always like wear on their sleeve. And that's something that could be there, but also there is something that other people could show you that you also value in right. partnerships and relationships
that I don't even know right
yeah.
now.
Yeah.
So I am excited for that. Like after that therapy call, I walked out here. I was like, Alex, I get it now. And she's like, dude, that's literally what I've been trying to say. But I mean, that's the epitome of like therapy too. Like
right.
you hear it. Or you come to the conclusion yourself or whatever, but the second your therapist says it, you're like, oh, because they have a degree, and it's just like, I'm like,
oh. Hearing it from like a third party is almost like it's that cherry on top where you're like, oh, okay, it's true.
Exactly.
Yeah. I know that after like the dust has somewhat settled from everything that has gone on in that aspect, I've just been so like excited for you to be single and in New York. And like, yeah, that's a huge thing too. Like, since we've moved here, you have had this tie to the West Coast.
An anchor.
And it's, I mean, it even brought you to the point where you were so like convinced that you would move back.
Mm-hmm. I was ready to move back June of 2024.
Yeah. And yep, you were like, that was it.
Yep.
So now that you do have that, like that cord is cut to the West Coast and you're able to like really dive into your life out here and yeah, see like what New York has to offer you, what life, like what this journey could really be for you without that tie.
Yeah.
You know, I'm like, I've been sitting here like, ooh, it's happening. Like you get to experience New York for the first time.
Like raw.
For real.
Like ground up. Like,
yes.
Yeah. Yeah.
It's really exciting. I have like my boyfriend's looking for cute coworkers that you can go on dates with.
On Halloween, we went to a party and it was with a lot of his coworkers, and he like introduced me to this one guy and he was kind of bunk, but like he was really cute.
Yep.
But like the taste of that, I was like,
yeah. Ah. And like we saw a cute guy when we walked in.
Oh yeah.
And you went up to him and you asked him, hey, you want to go take a shot? And like you said, nothing came of it, but like that little action, I swear, is going to do so much more for you in the right grand scheme of like this whole dating aspect. Like it really just is like baby steps.
Practicing that too.
Yes. Yeah. And you came back and you were like, he was kind of whack, but like you were fine.
Right. And I even said that. I was like, I think I need to experience, this is a big word, like intense word to use, but like failed connections.
Yeah.
That's kind of crazy to say like that one conversation was a failed connection, but you see what I mean.
But
like,
nothing came of it.
We didn't hang out the rest of the night. We didn't get each other's numbers. It was just like a, hey, you're cute. Hey, you too. Like, and just starting there kind of got the juices flowing, and like
right,
more of that will make me more confident in it.
And like being comfortable that in the fact that that is going to happen more often than not.
Right.
Because like that, and even me going into dating back fucking 5 years ago when I went through my breakup, I was like devastated the first time a guy didn't like me. I was like, what?
Like, was there something wrong with me?
Right.
Right.
But then I like started to get myself out there more and I'm like, oh, of course. Like,
it's not a match.
I am in a pool with thousands of men in LA at the time. Of course not all of them are gonna like me.
Right.
You know?
Not a literal pool. I feel like that sounded like we were at like a pool party.
No.
Dating pool.
A figurative dating pool.
A pool of 1,000 men.
Ew.
Pee water.
Gross.
Pee and poo water.
Stinky.
Axe body spray everywhere.
Right. Right.
No, in LA everybody's wearing either Acqua di Giorgio or
Santal.
I wear that. used to. I actually don't wear it anymore. I left the bottle of it at Tanner's house, and I also don't want to wear that scent anymore because scents remind me of times in my life, mm-hmm, and I've already moved on to a new perfume. I'm like, I need to smell different. I mean, I dyed my fucking hair red. I feel like a lot of people, even just seeing some of my posts and seeing the fact that I dyed my hair red, you already know I got cheated on.
Yeah.
Like,
it's an identifier.
It is. Red hair too. After a breakup, you know the bitch is mad.
Absolutely.
You know, like, you know something really bad happened. Because my other breakup was like mutual, chill, and I went like purple. Like I went right, like light lilac. Like, no, it was
you you had fire in your eyes.
Yeah.
Yeah. So I'm excited to like wingman. Mm-hmm. We're gonna go out. You're gonna be single. I'm like, I went before she went to Italy. I was like, I grabbed her by the shoulders and I was like, you have to do everything I would do if I was in your place. And you guys
that
know
that was scary.
I would go crazy.
That was actually the last thing I heard before I walked out of the door, and then I didn't see her for a month.
I was like, you have to be a yes man. You have to do everything. I'm gonna live vicariously through you.
Yeah. No. I mean, Italy, I didn't hold back nothing. There was one day where I was like a little under the weather, so I stayed home. But other than that, I was a yes man.
Right. Good.
So I guess
I'm just excited for you to like live untethered to anyone.
I'm just happy that I also don't have crippling anxiety anymore. So maybe that's another lesson here. I understand anxiety is a clinical thing and there's so many factors that can go into it, as we've talked about. But if you're on that journey to figure out and weed out what is and isn't making it worse, think about the people who are around you.
Mm-hmm.
Think about who might be stressing you out and you might not even know it. It might not be anybody, but it's just something like, you know, I've been there when you're trying to like I said, is it my diet? Is it, I'm not exercising enough? Is it my sleep? Like, add your energy around you into that consideration. Cause like, I'm telling you, like, it vanished. It absolutely vanished. Even my stomach has been feeling better, but I also have started that supplement regimen to kill my gut bacteria. But other than that, it's powerful when you're able to like feel a weight off your shoulders that you didn't even know was there. Like I think I was, my body was picking up on shit that my mind wasn't.
Your body was fully signaling to you like, hey, look at what's going on right now.
Yeah.
Question things.
Yeah. And now I get it. So silver lining, I like, thank you body for giving me the fucking signals. And yeah, I might not feel fully trusting in my ability to recognize love at the moment, but I do trust my body to tell me.
Mm-hmm.
And that's cool. And that's powerful.
And you, no one will ever be able to take that away from you.
No, nobody can make my body feel like a zing or a gut feel. Like that's internal. Like that's, you can't touch that. Okay. I do feel like that is enough of the breakup talk for now. It does feel good to get you guys on the same page. Like we said in the beginning, it feels weird if we're going through something that you guys aren't aware of. But I do want to end all of this with saying, he does know this episode is coming out. And number two, I don't want the comment section to be like a I hate Tanner parade or anything. Like, just, you know, if you, I do always love when you guys comment stuff, like if you've been through the same situation and you have any like advice for me, like love that.
Right.
But just,
this isn't a bash Tanner show.
No, exactly. So just keep the comments respectful. I do want to hear what you guys have to say, but regarding me, not regarding him. Mm-hmm. So yeah, I just want to put that out there. Okay, before we continue the episode, we're going to take a quick break for our second sponsor.
Our second sponsor today is Lumi, and I've been using their deodorant, and let me tell you, it smells so good.
You like the coconut one, right?
Yeah, and it lasts days.
What I like about it too is not like annoying coconut. I feel like some coconut scents are like,
like smells fake, like, yeah. Almond Joy.
Exactly. But this one's really nice. And I feel like with like your natural body pheromones and whatnot, it blends really nicely. I've also been using their body wash and their deodorant wipes. The deodorant wipes have been my best friend while traveling. It's like a small pack, so you can bring it on the plane. And that is like now a staple in my travel bag. I go into the bathroom before we land, like that final descent.
Ooh.
Freshen up.
A bird bath.
Literally. Or remember when I landed and we ended up going to Chris's when I got to the bay? I did that like, because I didn't have time to take a shower and I didn't want to like get my hair wet and do that whole thing. My makeup was already done. And I like literally just went into the crevices with it and little bird bath. Hey, it's better than nothing.
On that note, they're also pH balanced. Mm. So it's safe for use below the belt.
Yeah, they're a whole body deodorant. It's a cream and you can put that like any cracks and crevices, under boob, armpits, behind the neck, anywhere. And it's just so reliable.
These products are also all baking soda and paraben free. And it was created by an OBGYN.
Love that. So if you guys want to check them out, Lumi's starter pack is a perfect place to start. It comes with a solid stick deodorant, cream tube deodorant, two free products of your choice, like a mini body wash or those deodorant wipes, and free shipping.
As a special offer for listeners, new customers get $5 off Lumi's starter pack with our exclusive code and link. And for a limited time, returning customers get $5 off their next purchase of $30 or more too.
Use code ODVICE at LumiDeodorant.com. LumiDeodorant.com. Thank you, Lumi, for making this holiday season smell a whole lot better. So enough about that. What have you been up to?
See, I feel so silly like following that up with, oh, I've just.
You should have gone first.
Yeah, I should have gone first.
No, I think we should end on a lighter note.
Here's something for you. I have decided to take a break with therapy.
Yes.
I went through like a 2-week outro with my therapist, and I'm taking a break for multiple reasons, but I want to like preface everything by saying, no, I do not think I'm healed. I don't think I'm like, I hate to say like things weren't solved, but like therapy is an ongoing process. I just feel like I'm
growth is forever.
Growth is forever. I just feel like I'm at a point where right now I need to take a break with therapy for financial reasons, time reasons,
right.
Personal reasons. I haven't had anxiety for the past 6 months. I haven't had crippling overthinking thoughts being out in public for the past 6 months. I just feel as though I'm in a place where I can like pinpoint my happiness.
Yeah.
And I can pinpoint my independence and who I am. And one of the biggest things that like we like came to a conclusion on in this like 2-week outro session that I had was that I trust myself again. And I found like, I found the part in me that I knew was always there, but I couldn't like, how do I say this? I couldn't like pinpoint and I couldn't like bring to light because I was so anxious all the time.
Yeah, all judgment's fogged when there's any anxiety involved. So
exactly. And like, that's the perfect word. Like my judgment was so like questioned all the time by myself. Like I was questioning who I was and my judgment and all of these other things, especially moving to New York. Like I felt like I was faced with like forcing myself to put myself out into an environment and to a new city that I had no idea about. And like, I felt like I was doing it. I mean, I even expressed this to you, like September 2022, when we, a couple of months after we first moved here, I felt like I was so alone and not in like not being surrounded by people, but I felt as though like I couldn't even like talk to myself.
Yes.
Does that make sense?
Oh, like yeah.
That was the place that I was in. And I feel like now I'm no longer in that place.
Right. You got your feet rooted again.
Yeah. And I have been able to like find my roots out here independently that like didn't have anything to do with my life on the West Coast. And like, I just feel as though like I trust my journey with therapy and like I trust my journey with moving out here and all of this, these plan, like you guys know I'm such a planner and like I have always planned every single bit of my life down to my schedule every day. Like, and this is the first time in my life where I don't have a plan for what's next over these next 3 years. And
you're the happiest.
I'm the happiest I've ever fucking been because I don't have a plan.
Yeah.
And it's crazy because the last time I was in the Bay, I mean, when I was in the Bay in October, every family member that I saw. So how long are you going to be in New York?
Oh my God. That's, when I get are that you question moving back? Every time I talk to anybody who doesn't live here.
But I realized that I got it because when I moved to LA, I had an answer. And when I, like everything that I've ever done, I've always had an answer for.
Right.
And I would be asked, so what's next for you, Alex? Like, where do you see yourself in 5 years? Where do you see yourself in 10 years? Like, I always had an answer.
Right.
And now I don't have an answer. And like, I'm so okay with that.
Yeah.
And when I say that I have like felt more free over these last 6 months than I ever felt in my life is an understatement.
Right.
Like I feel like I'm actually beginning my life.
I was gonna say, you feel like you're actually living.
Actually living.
Yeah.
I mean, this past decade, I have dedicated like every bit of myself to okay, what do I want my career to look like?
Oh yeah.
What do I want like my love life to look like? What do I want? You know, I overthought and planned every single bit of my life that it turned into it feeling like I was.
It was a plan. It wasn't Alex.
Yeah.
It was a plan for Alex, but it wasn't just like,
it wasn't just what I wanted to do.
Right.
And like now I'm just doing what I want to do. And I still don't know where I'm going to be in 2 years. I don't know. And
no shot. I don't know anything about nothing.
But like, I've never had that.
Yeah.
I've never said that about myself.
Yeah.
I always thought that if I didn't know where I was going to be next, that the world was going to end. And it like manifested in ways that I never thought possible. Like I had like crippling anxiety every time I stepped out of the door, because if plans didn't go right for a night out, or if plans changed, I was so like, I would be in a bad mood. I would be anxious. I wouldn't want to be with the people that I was around. Like, and that was all because things were out of my control. Mm-hmm. And now that I've let go of the need to control every single bit of every part of my life, I'm like free from my own chains.
Yeah. Control only affects you because nothing can be controlled. So
right.
You're only putting yourself in that prison of like expectation and disappointment that you built for yourself.
100%.
That's huge.
Yeah. So with that being said, I'm taking a break with therapy. Like I said,
yeah,
for multiple reasons. During that like outro session, she wanted me to think of what could possibly like come up within the next months that would like throw me through a loop with me not having therapy.
Got it.
And it brought up that I am in a new relationship, and I have not been in a relationship for the past 5 years. And it's like, it's a learning game. I feel like I'm now like relearning how to coexist with someone.
Yep. After being so hyper independent too.
Right. After being so hyper independent and like not having to think about someone else, it is like, okay, my world
adjustment.
Yeah. It's an adjustment. And like, I had this thought like, okay, I'm going into a lot of the work that I did in therapy didn't surround like relationship Alex, obviously. Yeah. I was single. So now I'm going into this relationship and I'm trying to be like self-aware enough and cautious enough to know that like things could come up that will show like relationship Alex that wasn't addressed in therapy. Does that make sense?
Like what, if you're comfortable sharing?
So in my past relationship, when we would get into fights, I would automatically go into silent treatment.
Oof.
But that was because of my like not being able to communicate. And like that was addressed in therapy.
Of course.
So that's something that I am like hyper aware of.
Right.
But, and like, I don't have an answer for you because I don't know. That's what I'm like, that's what I mean.
That's
like,
why it was a concern.
That's why it was a concern, like, because I'm like, yeah, it's I'm going into this relationship, you know, a baby, and things are going to come up.
Umby.
For real. Things are going to come up where I'm like, well, you know, why did I react that way? And like,
yeah,
why am I doing this? And why am I showing these things that like I had in my last relationship? I don't know. It was just one of those things where it kind of like, I stepped back and I was like, oh, this is something very new in my life that I'm going to have to now like, I got to be like patient with.
Yep.
And cautious of, because I don't want to fall back into old patterns. I want to see the growth in myself and in this new relationship, because I know it's there. Like, I know I have fully, the relationship, it's my old relationship itself is like fully processed, but I just want to make sure that like,
As an individual,
I go into this new relationship and I feel, it's reflected in the relationship how much I feel I've healed.
Yes.
Does that make sense?
Absolutely. And I think you'll do great, and you are doing great, because having that awareness is already keeping your head afloat. If you just went into it, you're like, oh, I'm fine, that would be scary.
Yeah.
The fact that you're concerned, or I don't know what type of, like, just like
It's in the back of my mind.
Right. You're aware of all outcomes here, shows your open-mindedness to when and if you're faced with something new or old that triggers something old, you will take that extra beat. And that's the beauty of therapy too, is like, it, once you get into therapy, no matter what you're working on, like it does kind of build this new neuro connection of taking a beat before acting on something.
Yes.
Because you're aware of deeper meanings, old patterns, outcomes that you don't want to do again. So now having that new lens of just being self-aware. Mm-hmm.
And it goes beyond just
like you will be fine.
Think before you speak. Like it's, yes, that's part of it, but it goes far deeper than that. And like, right. It's a new lens that therapy has given me that I just didn't have before.
Yeah. Self-awareness. I mean, and we were also young in those relationships. Like,
right.
That comes with change. Like frontal lobe
development.
Right. But I find that with therapy too. Like there's times where I'm like, oh my God. And then I'm like, hold on. Like I got this. Like I might not have the answer, but I at least know how to get it now.
Right. I know how to get it. I know how to address it. I know there's a problem because I now could see it.
That right there, that level of self-awareness and acceptance and acknowledgement that there might be something that you're not absolutely perfect at, because duh.
But it's like, I'll work on it.
Exactly. But there's people in here that literally go in and they're like, no, I'm fine. And that's where you're going to get fucked.
No one's ever fine.
No.
Everyone clearly has something to work on.
Forever. It's just how you do it. Like,
right. And that's, I even said that in therapy, like I'm in a new relationship. We've only been together for like 6 months. Our first big fight is inevitable. Everyone sure. fucking fights. Yeah. Relationships are work and they're hard work. And there's going to be a point where me and my boyfriend are faced with something where we have to work through something. Yep. And it's that point where I hope that my growth shines.
Yeah.
And like, that was my concern.
I get that. And that's valid. But I think you'll do great. I think just having that awareness in general is what's going to get you through that.
Right.
Because you will check yourself if needed.
Exactly.
And that's the lens that a lot of people don't have, is like just checking yourself.
Mm-hmm.
There's nothing wrong with having these issues. Like I said, it's just how you deal with it. And we all have them, but how much do you let them... I mean, like what I was just saying earlier, like let them affect other people around you without taking any accountability. Like,
right.
It's a balancing act. But if we can all just take accountability of our own shit, I think it would help the surrounding people. Like just clean up your own shit and don't put it on others.
Right.
Who would have thought?
It's your job.
It's literally, you have one job. Figure it out.
Be the best version of yourself that you could possibly be.
Whatever that is for you, as long as you're putting it in for yourself and you're trying for yourself and like doing the best you can do, whatever that looks like, that's all you got to do.
Mm-hmm. Oh, also we have a new little furry guest.
Oh yes. This is our first guest.
This is a crab rangoon.
It's a crab rangoon, you guys.
And one of our listeners on Patreon, her name's Jenna. She made it for us.
It's so soft. It's so good. Like,
it's a crab rangoon.
So on our Patreon, on the Hella tier, once a week, we have Zoom calls where everybody on the tier can just like pop in, pop out as needed, mm-hmm. as wanted. And one of the calls, she was knitting. Jenna's always doing something.
Yeah,
on the
she's calls, literally.
She's cooking. She's
booked
like
and busy.
Cleaning. Like, she's just always doing something. It's so entertaining. And one day she was knitting. We're like, what are you knitting? She's like, a crab rangoon. We're like,
yeah.
Well, we need that right now.
Please.
So she sent this to us. So thank you, Jenna, if you're listening.
Thank you. It's beautiful. It's and it perfect. Will forever live on the season 4 set.
Yes.
And onward.
It's literally here forever. And like, I don't even want to put a pillow on my end. Like, that needs to shine.
Yeah. It's a crab rangoon. Should we name him?
It's so cute.
Goonie?
Crab.
No.
Mr. Krabs.
No, that's so SpongeBob.
Duh.
It's a crab rangoon. Ronnie.
Ron.
Because Rangoon.
Rangoon.
Randy.
Randy the Rangoon. This is Randy.
Hi, Randy.
Look at his beauty.
Oh, look at his butt. Look at, oh, it looks like,
it looks like a chicken. Ew, it does.
Okay, enough of you, Randy.
I just remembered what we were going to say.
Oh.
Alex and I think Alex and I are going to get cats.
We're going to get two cats.
And Link is going to have two best friends.
And, okay, so we were hungover on the couch one day.
Yes.
And we were looking at, like, a whole bunch of the rescues in our area. And we noticed that there are a lot of, like, adoption postings for cats that require cats to be adopted, like, with together. Another cat. Like
with their sibling or whatever.
So we're like, this is perfect. We could save... Like
save a duo.
Yeah. Because there's probably a lot of people out there who... like actually can't adopt, who want to adopt, but can't adopt two.
Right, right.
And majority of the listings were
a lot, yeah.
Were double adoptions. Yeah. So we're going to adopt two cats.
We actually have, is it this Sunday or next? No, next Saturday. We have an appointment at a little adoption place. We just want to see who we vibe with. We're going in open-minded. Mm-hmm. We'll see what happens, but
I haven't stopped thinking about, okay.
What
we saw a listing for two cats. First cat that we saw, the picture of the cat and the name like listed was Chandler. And
this was like 2 days after Matthew Perry passed away.
And we were like, Chan, and we looked at each other. And like, I haven't stopped thinking about Chandler.
And I said it in the moment, I was like, Alex, and like, this is. I like felt something in my chest.
Yes.
Like it was, we got to go see Chandler.
We have to go see Chandler.
And he has to be adopted with Rachel.
With his sibling.
Rachel. Yeah.
And they had, that litter had two other cats and it was Ross and Monica. And I think they got adopted together.
Oh my God. Monica was so cute. And I was like, damn, I want Monica because my sister's name is Monica. And how funny would it be to have a cat named after my sister?
Well, you know what? You're going to get Rachel and you're going to change her name to Monica.
Do that.
If they're kittens.
That's the thing. I need to see the vibe of the name. Like I'm a big like even right. when naming Link, like there were so many other names, but like Link just like fit her. Like it's like a human, you know, you gotta make sure it fits their vibe. So
and like okay. I fully agree, and I would have been so okay changing a cat's name. And if I got any other cat besides Chandler, I would probably change the name.
But you're keeping Chandler.
But I actually couldn't change Chandler.
Yeah. No, I totally get that. That was a shocking death for everybody. It was definitely one of those celeb deaths
that we felt like would never happen.
Right. I mean, I relate it, like the impact it had on you is exactly how I felt when Mac died. It's one of those things where like, hold on, how can someone so like, this is so cringy to use, but like so iconic, so such a staple in like my world and the world actually be permanently gone. And it's devastating.
I like actually haven't been able to think about it because it puts me in such like a low. Like I watched him every night.
Yep. Like the root of your humor is from that show. Like that show has touched lives of everybody. We have the yellow frame on our front door right here next to Alex. Like, and that's been up there since we moved in. That was actually like the first thing that we hung.
Yeah.
We literally unpacked it and we're like, boop, it's going to go right here.
I've had that since my very first apartment moving out of my parents' house. Yeah. Like
she has a friend's couch on her thigh.
Yeah. Like it's a part fan. Of me.
It is. And I get it. I totally get it. And you know, some might think that's silly, but when you have a comfort show or a comfort artist or comfort anything that's like an exterior vessel, it does become a part of you, especially at like a young age when you rely on it to make you happy, or, you know, you have a rough day at school or, you know, rough day in the house and you want to run away to your room and watch something, like that shit stays with you.
Yeah.
That's how I feel about SpongeBob. Like, I get it.
Right.
I fucking get it.
Yeah. And a lot of people were hitting me up. People were hitting her up. Like, is Alex okay?
Is Alex good? I'm like, oh my God.
No, I'm not okay.
Yeah.
It's, I'm not okay.
It's devastating. So RIP. I think that sums up the recap of this episode of the start of season 4. Really came back with
mixed bag
bowl of emotions, to say the least. But thank you guys for just always being there to listen. And I can't wait to talk to you guys in the comments too. And for Patreon, I mean, if you don't know, we do have a Patreon where we post follow-up episodes to the Monday episodes every Friday. exclusive for Patreon. There's a visual and audio. There's three different tiers. It's all linked down below. You could go check out the nitty gritty of it all. But we usually like to keep them related to the prior episodes. So for this Friday's episode, let's talk about it all. I know we touched a lot here, but I guess for me personally, I would love to hear if you guys have gone through any similar situations or just like
thoughts on like the whole cheating aspect and like the facade shit. Like there has to be someone out there who's actually experienced something similar.
That's like been a big thing. Sorry, quick tangent. I've talked about this, Alex, obviously, but like cheating's one thing. Like I feel like I've been cheated on before. Like the cheating part is, it sounds crazy, but like, it's almost the least of it. Like in my head, I'm like, yeah, it was a reflection of him. He needed to do it for himself, like self-destruction, whatever. We went over that. The one thing that I can't wrap my head around and have yet to speak to another human that's actually gone through a similar thing is the facade part. And like, you know, looking back and kind of seeing every situation in that lens, now that you know the truth, like if any of you have gone through kind of that same facade situation, whether it was with a lover or a friend or whoever, like, I don't know. I just feel very shook up by it because.
And there's no way that you're the only human on the face of the earth who's gone through this. So
that's why I've also been excited to talk about it.
Right.
Because I'm like, I've been talking about it. Actually, no, on Patreon, we haven't really even talked about it.
We had like a little tangent on one of our hella calls. And
it was
one
hella call.
Yeah, we were actually in the bay and everything was like, we actually couldn't hide it because everything was actually.
It was the only thing going on in our world.
Right.
And I confessed it to a small handful of you guys in the hella tier. So you guys have known for a little bit. But anyway, yeah, now we can all talk about it and it does feel so much better. So I need to hear someone else's take if they've been through a similar thing, because like, what the fuck, it's crazy. What do you want to hear for Patreon's episode?
I want to know, like, have any of you guys ever taken this pause on your therapy journey, and like, what was that like? I obviously, it was a big decision to make. It's something that I was hesitant on, but like, I knew I needed it for financial reasons, and like, I just want to know, what was it like during that pause? I know my therapist is like always there if like shit hits the fan. She literally said like, you could call me whenever. But yeah, let's talk about a little bit about your guys' therapy journey and like what that might have looked like if you took a pause, because I'm just curious.
Love that. Everything is linked down below.
Buy our deck.
Oh yeah, that too.
What the heck?
Guys, everything for the deck will be linked down below, or you can go to bicyclecards.com, search us up. Advice or Decadex, it'll be there. And we are just so excited to hear what you guys think once you get your hands on it.
I'm so excited. Thank you for being with us. If you're new, if you've been here since season one, like, we appreciate you. And
four seasons later,
we do this for you guys, and this fuels us, like, that we feel like we've built the best fucking community. Oh, and we couldn't be any happier with like how these past three seasons have played out, and we're just like so excited to still be sitting here and doing this. So thank you
forever, literally, until we're old women. We yes. have little rugrats running around, and like, ooh, just we're here forever if you guys are. So like, we're in.
Let's
it
keep doing
it.
This
if you guys want to keep doing this, we'll keep doing this, just let us know. But happy season four, and we will talk to you guys next Monday. Love you so much. Have a good week.
Bye.